So, guys, it is Monday evening again, unless you're listening on our website, diabeteschat.net, on the podcast. And tonight we have the amazing T1 Club as our guest speaker. They were established in 2009 in the northwest area of Northern Ireland to fulfill a need to help and support young ones and families. And tonight we'll be speaking to Adele and Gail, who co-founded the group, and hopefully we'll speak to some parents as well, and we'll ask some questions and hear some perspectives and stories of how they support their warriors, but also how they support themselves as warriors themselves. We do say, don't we, guys, type F's, so the friends and families, the other people that support us guys. So yeah, tonight we'll hear from parents and Adele and Gail of how the club started. So welcome, Adele, and welcome, Gail, to the Diabetes Chat.
How are you, Tom?
Not bad, not bad. That sounded
very... Long time no speak.
I know, yeah, we only spoke the other day. It sounded very professional, that, didn't it? And I actually didn't write any notes today. I just kind of...
It really winged, did.
I just winged that one. Hey up, Mary.
Oh, we have another parent on here too, oh, Nolan. Brilliant. She should be there as a listener somewhere.
Super.
So
I can't see her.
I can't see her yet either, but I'll keep a wee eye.
So Mary, do you want me to maybe start the first section and then you can do the sort of panel chat with the parents? And
sure, stuff? I don't mind. I think, yeah, I'll do either way, whatever you're comfortable with, Tom.
Super, yep. Super. But please, like, step in, Mary. We're just going to, yep, free for all tonight and get as much information out there for the amazing club. So Gail, Adele, welcome to tonight's chat. But obviously I've said there in our sort of intro that you established in 2019, but what is the T1 Club? When was it established and why was it established? Like, what got you thinking of this idea? Who thought of it? Like, how did you think about it? How do you know each other?
I think we all know each other because we went to the same clinic, and we it just happened that we all kind of got talking. I think we realized there was no support. There was nothing there for the children. There was a parent group that met maybe once a month, but mm-hmm. there was nothing there for children. And I think that's where I started looking at it and going, Shane, my son at that stage, he was 12, and he needed to meet other people. He didn't know anybody else with type 1. So it just came to be that we all kind of got talking, and we decided that we'd go to the bowling alley. And then the group just took off from there, where there were more of us got talking, more of us got together, and it kind of organically grew from that to what we have now, which sometimes is maybe the best way to do things, where, you know, it just kind of happened around us. And it was so great to meet other people, mm-hmm. You know, that were loving the same life that we were, that, you know, it just continued to grow. And that's kind of how it all began at the very start. Gail, if you have anything else to add?
Yeah, just in terms of me, Lily was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when she was 6. And, you know, from the start when she got diagnosed, I wanted, you know, Lily to see other kids, mm-hmm. you know, living their best lives with type 1 diabetes, but also understand that other people struggle with their type 1 diabetes. And there just wasn't anything out there for us. I couldn't find anything. Lily went to a small primary school. She was actually the only child in her primary school with type 1 diabetes. So it just felt very lonely at times. Yeah. So I think it was Adele says, let's all meet. I think we'd met maybe... There was through the clinic, we seen each other, because you see people at clinic, but you only see them quickly. And I think Adele, you just suggested, let's all meet up at the bowling alley. Nothing more complicated than that. And yep. we all met yep. up, and it just kind of has grown from there.
I love it. I absolutely do. Like, every time I see Adele's pictures or the T1 Club Twitter page, or when me and Adele catch up every so often and we talk about it, or when I see things like this or diabetes camps for kids and families, or there's a lot of camps in the USA and stuff like that, I just love these sort of things. And I was diagnosed at 17, so I was a bit older, I guess. But I know there's more sort of schemes and programs coming through now. I know Diabetes UK are doing the One Voice program, I think. But yeah, I just think it's great. Like, you guys are bringing families and children together and just having so much fun and normalizing things. And I just think it's cool that they can just hang out with their peers and just hang out with their friends.
What we tried to do, Adele, was make it nothing like a lot of the other events that were held were maybe held at the hospital.
Yeah.
And we were very much, we want to distinguish between clinic and then meeting up for a game of bowls. And we very much encouraged the whole family to come along, because we realized ourselves, you know, the impact it has on the whole and the extended family having type 1 diabetes, a child with type 1 diabetes. So we were very passionate that we made it fun for the kids. And you know what? We don't encourage the kids to talk about their diabetes in any way. They're just there to have a good day, have a bit of fun and enjoy themselves. And it's great. And there's some lovely wee friendships, Adele, that have been established, isn't there, in the group?
There's some diabetes now at this stage, and they come along to meet each other. And the beauty, I mean, it's a brilliant moment for young ones to come along and them not knowing, they don't know anybody. And by the end of the session, say we're in the bowling alley or we're having a party or we're down in the beach running underwater or whatever madcap thing that we're doing, there's a young person who's come along for the first time, and they meet another young person who is checking their bloods and checking their pump, and their mammies are saying to them, have you checked your bloods? Doing the whole thing that they know is their normal, but they don't feel like it. And all of a sudden, it becomes normal, do you know, and they make a friend and they go away and they want to come back to see their friend the next time. And that's what it's all about to us. And I mean, we now have built up this brilliant support network where there are all these parents who are, they're loving the same, you know, we're all loving the same life. We're all, you know, we're trying to support our children as best we can. And we're all trying to do it. But now we've got other people to talk to about blood sugars and carbs and sleep, lack of good coffee. And, you know, that you will get a glass of wine eventually and it'll all, you know, it will be okay. You know, we're all there to support each other through just trying to help our young people with type 1. So
it's really nice. One of the biggest questions we get asked is carbs and McDonald's.
Yeah, that's the other question that we're there for. This is the important thing, is how many carbs is in a McDonald's. We're there to give that answer.
It's really lighthearted, though. It's like the whole thing is really lighthearted, and it's really lighthearted for parents and normal. Like the whole thing is like, it's lighthearted and normal, and it's full of the good stuff and the hard stuff too.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a WhatsApp group that we use as parents. So we talk type 1 on the, you know, the parents group, and that's where we get, you know, we share information, we get support. But when we're there at the events with the young people, it's all about them. It's all about them
just having fun
and it's all focused. Yeah, that's the main focus, is they leave and they go, oh my God, I had such a great time and I've made a friend and, you know, I've done something brilliant and I want to go back again. And that's our focus. You know, that's what we want to do, is just
and
make sure.
And we encourage brothers and sisters to come along too.
Yeah,
that's great.
Because we want them to see, you know, that their brothers and sisters going to be okay. Because it's a scary time for the kids, you know, who have a brother or sister as well. And, you know, they have a great time, and sometimes it's great, Adele, to look out and see, I wonder which kid is that has type 1 diabetes.
Yeah.
It's so hard to tell sometimes, and that's what makes it for me at those events, sometimes seeing that they're not different, you know, from any other kid.
Absolutely.
What's your youngest then child? Because I saw on the website, is it about 80 families, 80 children that come? Is that right?
Yeah, there's the youngest now is like just coming two, I think, coming two or three. And then we go right the way up. But we have a couple of young, we've actually started at junior sessions. So one of the junior sessions, Nolene is here somewhere. I think she's here She has a younger wee one, so we have junior sessions, and then we have like all the family, and then we try and do stuff for the teens as well. And Gail has come up with a
bunch. Yes, we try. Teens. Me and Adele are both going through this stage. My daughter's 14. Adele, you're she, and he's 16. And it's a whole new world. Anybody that says to me diabetes gets easier, it doesn't. It's just different, and the challenges just change. So it's great that I have that support of everybody else who's going through the 10 years with diabetes as well. It's great to have that in place. Do you want to talk about our new idea, Adele?
We're going to have hopefully we're going to start like a team, you know, like a separate group for the parents to just come along and have a chat and have a coffee and just talk about, you know, because we, you know, if the teens maybe they might meet up every couple of months where the parents can go and meet, because there's some parents who want to come along to our group. Their teenagers busy being a teenager and hanging out and going to the cinema and doing whatever they're doing as a teenager. So us parents, there's parents that want to get together, and there's some parents who come along to the events even though their teenager isn't coming along. So we thought it would be good to maybe, you know, do something along with the parents of teens as well. So that's the latest.
I just think it's great, isn't it, Mary, that you guys have just built this fantastic supportive community, supporting all the family of all ages, and bringing, like I say, Gail, like you encourage all family members to come, brothers, sisters, siblings, and it's just nice to see and how supportive you are. So
with grannies coming to you, Dale, and we have
it's great, isn't
coming.
It? Yeah,
like it's evolving.
The grannies.
Yeah, it's evolving like the whole time. Like the little ones, they got started to get together because more and more started to come into the group of that age, I think, and then as the teens are getting bigger, it's becoming obvious that the parents want to meet, but like that the kids don't feel like they need to, but the parents still really do, and it's such a shame, like when the parents think that they can't get together, yet they're still struggling at home. I think it's really good. When are you going to start doing something like that, Adele and Gail?
I think it's you were talking about during the summer, Gail, weren't you?
Because if we met up, we were thinking about going to like a local country park or a local forest park and meeting up, you know, for a coffee, a chat, and then maybe even go for a walk, just to de-stress that way, because it's just so good to be out with the long evenings now. And, you know, it is hard because people's lives with kids, they are so busy. So, you know, we run events maybe on a Sunday or a Saturday, and that doesn't always suit people. People work, people just have such busy lives. And I think that's something important, you know. We have had times we've ran events and nobody's turned up. And, you know, in those times you're thinking, oh, are we doing the right thing here? But I think you just have to keep providing those opportunities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then our next event, it could be 50, 60 people turn up to it. It's just, keep giving people those opportunities.
Sometimes there's like two families will come along to bowl, and then all of a sudden you do it the following time and you have six lanes of bowl, and you're going, oh my god, how did that even happen? What has happened here, you know? But you know, it just feels like it's important. I mean, we did an event there on Sunday, we did Adapt for Diabetes, and the feedback, it was an amazing event, you know, and it was like a fundraiser, and but us all getting together to do that for the group was just a brilliant event. You know, you get these events where you just come back absolutely buzzing, you know, absolutely just, you know, just going, this is brilliant, and this is why I'm doing this, and this, you know, this all makes sense. You know, there's people having conversations, and
please share a little bit more about this Sunday then, yesterday. So obviously you did some fundraising. So tell us about the event. Why you did the fundraising and how much you've raised so far, because it's just wow, it's just amazing, isn't it? I've got it on my page now, it's just ace.
So we're not going to lie about it. We did the fundraiser because we essentially completely ran out of money. we'd run out of funds. Our group it's not funded. We are completely voluntary. Mm-hmm. We are run by parents. We're, you know, that's the way the group's gone. There's no paid workers. There's no, it's just a voluntary group. Yep. So we don't like doing, the fundraisers that we do, we get all the families involved. So we'll all talk about, you know, we need to do a fundraiser. Has anybody ideas? And there's a brilliant parent in our group, Nolene and Sinead. And Sinead had mentioned about doing the Dip for Diabetes. We'd done one in November. And then she was talking about doing one here, and unfortunately she couldn't take part because her wee girl wasn't well. After all the organizing, her wee girl wasn't well, so I hope she's better now. But we went down to Benone Beach yesterday, and we'd organized it for weeks, so you know the weather in Northern Ireland here yourselves. It's never usually that warm. We were going to jump into cold water on a cold beach. And whatever fluke happened, it was the warmest day of the year. And so we went to the beach.
Hashtag winning.
Totally. And then it turned out one of the people who came down to support the event, she's a cold water dipper. So she made us go on and do it all properly. So we did it. We were under the water. Some of us didn't, Gail. I'm saying nothing. I'm not pointing fingers or anything while you're on this.
I made the sandwiches for the picnic, Adele. That was my competition.
I've seen some lovely pictures that you guys and the families like getting involved. Adele, I can see you in the superwoman outfit. That's just amazing. I can actually see one picture. Did this guy actually go in? There's a guy walking down the beach. He's got like a white suit on and a hat. Please tell me he went in.
Who was that? No, that was somebody's Muller who came along. It wasn't a fella. It was from far away.
Apologies.
But do you know what? I said that I would, if we raised over £1,000, I would go in a costume of some description. And of course, I don't know why I say these things, because I say them all the time. And it just comes out of my mouth before my brain actually engages. So there, of course, the money, the funds all started to move up towards £1,000 all of a sudden. And now we're sitting at over 2,000. People are still donating. There was a donation there at 8 o'clock tonight. It's brilliant. Like we rely on these funds, like, you know, because we're not funded and we don't, you know, this is that kind of money means that we can hold loads of events during the summer. We can have like so much fun.
Adele, tell them how you will spend the money, how you guys make the money go so far, because you really do.
Yeah, we just spend it all on, so we spend it on events for the children. It goes on nothing really else. It just goes on events. So we try and get the best deal that we can. People, families donate too. We try and do as many free events as we can. Gail will tell you, when we get money and we like to try and treat the families as much as possible, because you know, we've just made money. We're like, let's go and do stuff for them. So we're having a party in a couple of weeks' time, like a diabetes awareness walk and a party in the park. So that'll be our next big event. So it means that we can get a children's entertainer on. We can, you know, we can make it as fun as possible.
Yeah. I think, Adele, we were talking about over summer, a couple of cinema trips and doing stuff maybe during the week when maybe people are off to do some stuff. And then maybe towards the end of summertime, where we were maybe thinking about doing a wee day trip, organizing a wee day trip. In the past, Adele, we've done things like with ice hockey. We've taken the group, we've hired a bus and we've taken them up to the ice hockey and done things like that.
Circus Adele, skills.
I get worried. Adele would always either message me or phone me up and say, I've got a great idea, Adele. And I'm like, oh God, what am I going to do next?
But it's the freedom, though, like when you fundraise for your own, like from your own group, for your own things, that you have full license to spend it on what is good for the whole group at the time. Yeah. And you guys decide like literally what you're saying there, Gail, when Adele has a bright idea.
Sorry, not sorry.
And then something happens 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And I think people are so generous too, Adele. Yeah. You know, that people really do rally around. And sometimes you go, I can't ask, we can't keep asking. But everybody's so generous. And, you know, for example, at Christmas time, we were donated some tickets to an event that was held up in the city, you know, and that was so kind to get those free tickets. And we had an amazing night there. So, you know, people are so generous and they do want to help. But, you know, the worst, we're terrible, aren't we, Adele? I can't think of anything worse if somebody wouldn't come to our group because of the fear that they couldn't afford to pay for it.
Yeah.
That just really breaks my heart, you think. So that's why we do try when we can and when we have money to make things free. And then everybody pays that back and supports us so much, and we're so grateful for it.
I see, like, in the group where, like, people really appreciate the events and they really appreciate the cost of things too. And when they, like, you make it really easy for people to sign up, like, for to come along, and then they respect it so much that they tell you when they can't come as well. Like, so it's because it's so easy to communicate, like, within the little group, even though it's like 80 families. I think that's a real testament to, like, the momentum in the group too. And people don't say, I don't feel responsible to go either, because you always know that there'll be somebody there, or that you can just rock up if you don't know anybody, because it's so welcoming.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, any of the families, like, once they've been once, it's getting them to go once, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting the young person to go to the group, because they see the pictures, they see this big group, and they're kind of, you know, you would be at, you say you're 8 or 9, you don't want to go on to a group of people that you don't know. And then once they go along, they want to go back then. Do you know that kind of way? That's,
don't want to leave.
And I see, talk about how the parents chat in the group. Say a new parent joins the group, and like how, like, because it is just, it's like a swarm of love. And and then the parents are like, going, right, how do I get to convince this child to go and meet all these strangers that aren't strangers, because they're not in the group.
No, I know. And that's, like, we have, so our WhatsApp group, somebody, it'll always be that somebody will meet somebody at clinic, or they'll meet somebody at school, and then they'll send a message and they'll say, can you add such and such to the group? And then as soon as I add them in, I will say, you know, I'll give them an introduction, just say, look, welcome to the group. And then the amount of people that all come back and they're like, you know, really welcome into the group, and, you know, they'll do an introduction and they'll talk about their young person, and it's just, it's lovely to watch. It's this proper, like, a hug through a WhatsApp group, you know, it's lovely. I love that. I love when new people come along and then, you know, all of a sudden they're going, oh, this is great. I've met other people and I can talk to them, you know, and they understand. And it's
Dale, you know, because we've all been through that. We've all left hospital completely bewildered by the whole diabetes world, you know, and you get taught all how to treat the physical symptoms, but you just feel so overwhelmed how you're going to manage, you know, the social side of it, you know, how's my child going to manage at school, what if they get invited to a birthday party, those wee things that seem silly that you don't get talked about at clinic. When you first get diagnosed, you get taught to check blood sugars, you get taught to count carbs, and you're just going out of that hospital and your head's swimming. So the group is so great, and it's lovely to see that, you know, that we all kind of come together and say we understand, you know, or we're here for you, whatever you need, just message anytime. And there's always going to be somebody up in the day.
There's always, somebody's always going to be up checking blood sugar somewhere along the line. There'll be somewhere there early, somebody there late, you know, and as it's really good to know that there's people there that have your back and they understand, you know.
Yeah. And that's Kelly's joined the panel. Kelly, can you can hear us?
Yes, speaking from a mommy who joined the group, over 3 years ago. I remember coming in the first time and going to the bowling alley. And to me, it was like, it was a lifeline. That's all I can describe it. My mum came with me and Lauren was there, my daughter, who was the diabetic, and it was just fantastic. And to see her just be like, God, I'm not on my own here. There's other kids like me. She looked around and they were drinking like slushies because it was like, oh no, you can't have those or whatever. And her papa used to take her up the town and get her a slush at the weekend. And she's seen these ones drinking it. And she goes, Mommy, they're the diabetics and they're drinking it. How come? And then I went over and I said, how are you drinking that? And they were like, oh, it's sugar-free one. And just she just lit up and off she went then with them walking about with her slushie, and it was great. And now she has got older. She's 12 now, so she was diagnosed at 9. But she knows that it's so important for me as well to go. So she plays a lot of sport. So, and a lot of her Gaelic matches would be on a Sunday and sometimes when the bowling's on. But I'll say, oh, the bowling's on, the T1D grip is on or whatever. And she's like, right, okay, we'll go to that. Because she has said to me, I know that you enjoy it so much, Mommy, and it's so important for you to go and chat to the other mommies, and that and that first time even just talking to other mums and stuff about technology, like you haven't a clue at the beginning, and even talking about, oh my God, when mine gets gravy at lunch, it sends them through the roof. And you know, there is silly conversations.
Well, you want to talk about the meeting the diabetic you. Your daughter meeting the diabetic with the JDRF Discovery Day.
Fabulous day. Lauren was so excited because she followed the diabetic duo, and I was going, we were coming to the Discovery Day, and she was just so excited, and she shared it on her Instagram, and then they reshared it. So that was just the highlight. It was just the highlight of her life, like that. And they had reposted it. Is that how you say? But it's just the group has just been fantastic, and I was one of the dippers there in the water that day. That was, oh my God, it was cold. I was just saying, it was freezing, but all for a good cause.
It was freezing, yeah. And I can neither confirm or deny the cold water dipping gets rid of a slight hangover. There was a rumor.
Yeah, no, but no, it is. It's so important. And you talk about the diabetes and that. Like Lauren has formed relationships with her. She has diabetes in the group, and you know they meet up, and it's just so good because you're all in the same boat, and nobody can really understand it until they're in it. Until it comes knocking at your door, you really don't know. Like your family and your friends, okay, they see what's going on, but they don't really understand it like so, you understand it so as a
before,
parent.
Before
and it's
you,
just to be with people. Yeah.
Before you kind of connected to the T1 club then, Kelly, like did you and your daughter have any sort of peer support like this? Or were you, obviously you had maybe your friends and family, but not like this sort of connection with people who are living through it?
And she had the same thing. Nobody in her school had it. She was at a small school, and she was the first child to ever have diabetes, and it was like the school just didn't know what to do. They sort of went into, oh God, right, we don't know what to do. She can't come back to school until, you know, we sort this out. And then I was coming in 3 times a day, and she knew nobody else with this condition, and she was just like, It's a lonely time. Mm-hmm. And then at hospital, they had said that she was diagnosed at the end of November, and there was a Christmas pantomime at the Millennium Forum. And they said that a diabetic group was doing this. And I was like, right, okay. And up I went, and I was a bag of nerves going to this, even though it was going to be a diabetic group. I had all my supplies, and I was really up because this was the first outing as such with it. And when I went in there, I met a girl that I worked with, and she was all to me, oh, please don't tell me you're in here with a diabetic group. And I said, I am. And she goes, right, okay, Kelly. My daughter was the same. She was 9, and she went on in, and then she says, look, there is this great group. I'm going to get you in touch with them. And then that was it. I went then to one of the days at the bowling alley, and sure, the rest is history. It's just been brilliant. I think it's fantastic. And I have met other people then. If I hear about anybody sort of in the school or that's their child has just been diagnosed, I would sort of contact them and say, look, there's this group, bring your child along. And it works for some people, and some kids will mix well in it, and then some are maybe a wee bit too shy, or maybe a wee bit too young, or a wee bit, you know, on that age group, sometimes the teenage, they don't want to join in. But as Gail was talking about there, the parents meeting up of maybe teenage ones is a really good idea, because I touched base with a mum there in Lauren's school, because she's obviously secondary school now, and she does want, you know, she would like to go into a support group, but her daughter doesn't want to go. Her daughter isn't, she's not taking it great, and she doesn't really want to, but she did come to the Discovery Day. And so I think that's going to be great as well, just meeting for coffee, having a good chat, and just like, what do we do about this? And even supplies, because we've all got in touch through the group and the WhatsApp, if we run out of something or that, we're just like, oh, two pumps haven't worked. Has anybody got a spare one?
Yeah.
What area are you in? You know, and it's really, really good. But even just the fun side of going to the group, it's not heavy. It's just light, and you go for a chat, and it's just meeting your best friends when you're there, you know, because we're all the same. Mm-hmm. So no, it's been good. And that's what my mom would say too. She comes as well sometimes, like as you talked about grandparents and all as well.
I love your mommy. She's the best.
Yeah.
I love her. I'm just remembering, Kelly, your mummy even did the goal kicks, I think, as well. That, you
oh
know,
yeah, yeah.
The football.
For that, yeah.
Your mummy's game for us.
Yeah. She would say, oh, that was such, she said, you come out of the first meeting and you were just like, oh my God, you're not on your own here. Because you do feel very much on your own, because you don't, I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anybody who had a child with diabetes in there, because there was nobody in the school. And I was like, oh my goodness, you know what to do? And it was a lifeline just going to that group, you know.
I get it. We live in the same town. We probably live 2 minutes away from each other.
Yeah.
And we met through the group.
Yeah.
I've met so many new friends through the group as an adult. It's been amazing to make so many just lovely people, meet people, and it's really helped my mental health through this all, because sometimes I think the parents can get a little bit forgotten about, because
You are overwhelmed when you come out of that, when you come out of the hospital. You just think, oh my God, how do I do this? You know, can I do that?
How did the group help you, Kelly, like in regards, say, your confidence and going back to work? Because I, like, with work and go, like being off work, and when Lauren was diagnosed, and
it was even just sitting there watching the mums, like, who is as the twins. And she was at the bowling alley, and she was just like, hold on a second here. And she just injected into the leg or whatever. And Lauren was just amazed at this. And she was like, and I was thinking, you know what? It does, life keeps going on. It's not the end of the world. It's not, you know, it's going to be okay. Because I used to keep saying to her, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. But, you know, in my mind, all the doubts were there. And just seeing everybody just getting along and just getting on with it. And just taking it in the day-to-day, like, even and all that, sort of the equipment and stuff, it was like the meow meow and stuff at the time, and I was like, what is this? And they were like, oh, here, we'll show you. And everybody is so open about showing you things and saying, well, this is what we got, and this is what we use, and this might work for you, and, you know, if she plays sport, this is good for that, and that was great. And but I even getting back to work, It was difficult with the school, because the time they got an assistant and stuff like that. So I was off coming into school 3 times a day, and then we got an assistant, and then she left, and then I was back in again. Luckily, my work was very, very supportive, because my boss is actually married to a dietitian as well, who works with diabetes and adults. So that was handy. But he was very, very understanding. And it gets easier. And then Lauren transitioning from primary school to secondary school and wanting to transition without an assistant and doing it on her own was a big step. But you have to let her do it. I had to let her do it, you know. And
that was during COVID kind of times as well. So
I had her very much then here in the bubble, because it was COVID and I was keeping her safe, and I was like doing it all myself, and I was working from home, and then, like, it was like, right, you have to let go of her and let her go. into school and let her, you know, mix. And because it's really, really tough, because see, even when she was in primary school and she was diagnosed in, it was the Halloween of primary six, when she came back to school, her friends sort of, they almost looked at her differently. They were a bit afraid of her. It was a weird thing. It was because they didn't really know, but they knew it was Lauren, but Lauren was different now, and her mommy kept coming in, and she went away at lunchtime instead of going out to the playground, and you know, she had her own snack with her, and she did, you know, so it was all that. So it was tough that way for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you think Lauren, not even do you think, how did Lauren like feel more confident and comfortable in herself, like with the group too? Because like I know she's like a big sister, like,
yes,
and
she like does, yeah, because her wee di bestie's only young, because yeah, she was in the primary school and she was only P1, and yeah, Lauren was sort of the other end of the scale. She was like P6 or whatever, P7, and but she still, she just gets on with it. She's very good, like with wee Erin and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. She's friends with Eve and wee Kimberly and stuff, and they kind of look up to her, and it's great because it seems like we're a couple of steps ahead of those wee girls. And I would talk to their mommy and say, look, you know, Lauren's going to a disco and Clubland, and they're like, oh my god, how do you do that? And I'm like, she went and put her sweets down in her pocket and away she went. She didn't want to, you know, she didn't want to take the bag with her and stuff like that. And I'm like outside, you know, waiting on her. And then I said, like, she's had a sleepover, and they're like, oh my god, how have you done that? And I'm like, yeah, it's been okay, we just watch her bloods, and you have to give her the independence. And you know, even that first time going down the town after school with her friends on her own, like I was hovering about, juking around shops and stuff. But you know, the group, at least telling the group of the mums that this is she's a wee bit further ahead than their girls in age, and at least they can see that and think, well, this is going to be okay for my girl. This is, yes, she's going exactly to be okay. She's going to be able to do the normal things. And Lauren plays so much sport as well, so it's really good. She's very determined that way, and she just won't let it. She just won't let it stop her at all. She's just like, all right, this is something I have, but it's not going to stop me. So it's great.
And like Miguel and Dale, like the group is one place where like all the little like type one triumphs, like they're celebrated, but like the normal stuff, like that is so normal in a different world, but like they're all celebrated as well. Just all really shared in the WhatsApp. The WhatsApp's a really safe place, isn't it, to talk about things. And
we put up achievements as well. As you know, we stick up pictures whenever, like Ashley would put in there when her son's won football match, and we're all very proud of all our T1 days. We're just like, so we do. We put on the WhatsApp their achievements. Mm-hmm. You know, when they've won a medal and stuff, the picture goes up. But it's great to see. It is great to see.
Yeah, or if they've passed an exam or anything, any triumphs that they have, we are there singing. Yeah.
First day of school.
Just first day of school, everything, you know, we're there singing it all and shouting about it all.
The day before school, we're putting stuff up. What's going in your box?
Yes, the box.
Taking hypo boxes and, what are you putting them?
And like these are things that aren't out in like Facebook groups or out on like Facebook pages, but like, so how do people like the WhatsApp group is the heart of it, isn't it, Adele and Gail? But like the outside bit is that, like, how do people like find you who don't know about you? Like, because you, like, people find you as well all the time.
I know, we're like, I always liken this at the start to like the Fight Club of diabetes. You know, you just somebody will be talking to somebody outside the school gates and they'll go, did you hear about this group? Bring you know, that was the way it always happened, was somebody was talking to somebody. You know, but now it's more, I think, our clinic are talking about, there's more people talking about the group, and the more people that talk about the group, the more people we can help. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're loving it. But we do, I mean, we have a Facebook page. We have a new website getting launched this week. We have a redesign of our website. This is like fresh news. This is information just for use tonight. We have a new website getting launched. It's a refresh of our old one. So there are ways to contact us, Facebook, Twitter, our website, any of those, and we can pop parents then onto the parents who love, you know, in the Northwest. There's people who travel from everywhere to come to our group, like, we can add you onto the WhatsApp group, and then we just keep the events updated through social media.
Yeah, and we have just recently, Adele, the hospital, the parent support group for the hospital for Ward 6. They did a starter pack for type 1 diabetes, so we were able to get our leaflet with all our socials on it. So hopefully moving forward, you know, those newly diagnosed children, they'll hopefully see that, and whenever they're ready, they can, you know, make contact that way. We do have a contact us on the website, so if anybody's on and they just want to find out a bit more, but it's generally word of mouth and such and such, or you're up in hospital and you get chatting to somebody. It is that simple, and it sounds like it shouldn't have worked. And I think over COVID, we were a bit, is this the end of the T1 club? Is this going to be the end of it? So we're a bit nervous, I think, coming back from COVID, but it just seems to have went from strength.
It's the simplicity, Gail. It's the simplicity for you guys to organise, that you can just go, right, have we any money? What can we do in 2 weeks? Put up a notice about it. Does anybody want to come? Yes, we want to go. And then I hope I'll go. And then you spend the money. And then it's like, okay, we need to do a fundraiser to get more money. And the
circle of life continues.
And the responsibility isn't massive, because you're not having to. You're only responsible to the group itself. So if you deliver an event, you're delivering to the group. And I can see it in like the Facebook, like, you know, our Northern Irish one, the T1 P2P, because there's another parent who started up another little Facebook group around, I think she's around Lisburn. And she's like, I saw her message. She's like, there's the group up in the Western Trust, but it's a bit too far for us. But like, I've just created this because like they're watching you guys and going,
yeah,
we could do this, and other people can as well.
Yes, and there could be T1 clubs all over the place. Like, we've shown that just getting us all together and getting us, you know, getting a group of people who are supporting everybody, and showing people that it doesn't take big injections of money. It doesn't take, big injections.
Yeah, we're all working parents.
Yeah,
that kind of run the majority of things. We all work, we all have, you know, other children, other responsibilities, so, you know, we're not very time rich, but, you know, so we don't spend huge amounts of time.
No, and like, even going bowling, like, if nobody, like, if you have no money in like, you're just starting off, like, your bowling days out are brilliant, because even if they're not free, like, a family can book their own lane and at the same time, and meet up at the same time in one bowling alley on one day, and like have three families meet. And if a family can't go, they've only lost their own money. And like, the person who's organized it hasn't paid anything out and isn't owed any money. And everybody I suppose
I'm lucky in a way where my background is like youth work and community work, and I have a really good network, and I know, you know, that the bowling alley does the disability rate, or I know, you know, people that will come along to support, or I have really good connections. So I suppose other people would maybe, you know, panic a wee bit more about, oh, you know, we need to go and find somebody, and we need to go, and where I have a good network of people. If the children want to go and they want to do circus skills, I'll have it organized in 2 weeks. Do you know that kind of way? Mm-hmm. It doesn't worry me. It doesn't, you know, and there's always fun things to be found.
But Adele, you said about yesterday at the beach, we did it because we'd run out of money. So I think we have £30 in our bank account. Yeah.
We should be saying this on Twitter.
No, this is great, because that means you spend the money.
Spend it all.
So, you know, we had hardly anything to do, but it was a great day, and everybody seemed to really enjoy it, and all the family turned up, and, you know, so we had very little costs yesterday, and probably one of the best days we've had at the T1 Club, strangely enough, with such little money. So it's just about being smart, maybe, and looking around your area and seeing what you can do. And I know, Adele, there's children cinema trips. They're £2 if you go early.
They're
if you
class.
Go things early in the morning, as opposed to going at peak times.
Yeah.
You know, so just being a little bit smart.
And they suit families, because then you have lunch after. Like all those things really suit and work, and it becomes like it becomes a destination. I know we haven't been for a while just because Johnny's slightly older, and the road has opened up, which makes things much easier now getting up to Derry.
Mary, you're not the only one with that, Sam. We are struggling with the teens, to engage the teens. I think it's fair to say it's been a challenge.
I think that parent bit is golden. I really do.
Well, I think that's going to work. I mean, there's parents who don't bring their teens. They just don't, because they want they want that bit of support. So why not give them that bit of support? You know what I mean?
Sometimes people just need to actually see that in black and white and go, you don't need to bring your team.
No.
To go, to be asked, they think they can't go.
There's been a lot of new teens newly diagnosed in their teens, whereas my Lily was diagnosed when she was 6. So I can see for a teen to tell them to come along to a new group, you know, it must be daunting for them.
Yeah.
So if we can get the parents and let the parents see what the support's like and how good it is, and then we're hoping maybe then the teens will follow from that possibly.
The worst thing, as we're saying that, like we've had bowling sessions where there's been a big group of teenagers there. It's just the way that it's fallen, do you know what I mean? But it's something that we're really focused on, because we know that that's an older age where they need a wee bit more support, and they need people who understand around them. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
Even if their parents are getting that support, then it means that they are able to support their young person through.
Exactly.
Whatever it's called,
Adele, what's your blood sugars today?
Oh,
mine is fine. That is my blood sugar reading today. Fine.
I think we're at default 11.3. This is our default number. When he doesn't want to answer me, 11.3. So we're probably at 11.3. That's the number we tend to follow.
Or what's the other one? You don't need to know that. Is the other answer given us what the blood sugars are? So, you know, but...
The worst thing, I can get that. I totally get that. I mean, you get to an age and you know, it's yours, you know. You don't want to be sharing all the information, and you know that's okay, you know. And sometimes, but it's hard for us as parents to get to that spot where we're just letting the young person, and that's the spot that I try to get to, you know. But it's just a hard place to work in. It's one that if we have the support of all our parents who are doing the same, it means that we will pull back and we're not going to go, what's your blood sugars? I haven't seen you.
Totally.
You know, where, you know, it stops that.
Like, and I would be that type of a person, like where I'm watching you, Adele, and going, right, what would Adele say? Wind your neck in, Mary, it's okay.
Check on the weekend. Check at 5 o'clock. I'll do it at five. I'm having internal conversations all the time. Don't worry about it. We have another parent. There's another parent, Nolene, who can't get onto the space. She's listening, but she can't get onto the space. So I don't know what's happened there, but I just thought I'd let you know.
It's
a wee younger one.
Yeah. She's not appearing on the panel to bring up.
She can hear us though, so hello, Nolene.
Hi, Nolene.
So can I ask then, guys?
Her tiny.
Can I maybe ask what are the biggest challenges for you as parents for like looking after your loved ones? Is there any particular thing that has been challenging or is challenging? Like you just said there, like kind of letting go, essentially, like letting your loved ones kind of grow a little bit. That's a challenge. But is there any other challenges that you've had over the years that you found difficult? But maybe now with the support of the T1 Club, it's great, because then you can bounce off ideas, ask questions. Any challenges like carb counting, going on holiday, sleep worries? What comes to mind?
I think the biggest one, and I don't know, Adele or Kelly, what you think, but it's been technology. When we were first diagnosed, it was finger pricks, and technology has just moved on so fast. And, you know, nearly, if you don't approach clinic and ask for something, you're never going to get it. So the group has been great to see somebody else using the tech and see how well it works from them, different types of pumps, different types of sensors now. So I think that's the biggest challenge, but the group just provides so much opportunity to find out about different types of tech and what's coming up.
People do that meow meow at the beginning was great for us, and I approached clinic and I said, oh gosh, this thing called the meow meow, and they were like, we don't support that. And it was just shut down, and I was like, oh right, okay, I thought that was something that was, and they were like, no, you can go ahead and get it and whatever, but it's we don't have nothing to do with it. And I was like, right, okay, that's fine. So then the group helped then, you know, when we drove and got it, and everybody is so supportive about, like, Mary is fantastic. She is our techie person, and she has got everybody set up on, you know, an X-strip, and then you tell another parent to come to your house and you go through it. And then even, you know, if you're not meeting at the groups, we have went to individuals' houses to show them if you know how to do it. And it's that's what the group is so brilliant about. You know, I would say, because I met a girl at the beach yesterday and she said, oh, I can't follow my son. I'm like, oh, right, you need to talk to Damien the next time we meet up, or, you know. So that's the way it goes. It's brilliant that way, all the techie stuff. And I think the challenge is the biggest thing I found, that whenever Lauren was diagnosed at age 9, I just thought it had just taken her independence. I felt like, oh my God, it's just, and then I felt like I am still there. I go to her matches, I go to her training, I'm always there in the background. I'm trying to be there, like, in camouflage almost, that I'm not there, you know, that kind of way. Because they come to an age, it's like, they don't want to see their mommy standing there. You know, why is everybody else getting dropped off? Why is everybody getting dropped off at birthday parties? But my mommy's the one standing weighing my food and stuff. So you have that fine line of trying to be, you know, try to explain to them that I'm here to keep you well. And, you know, I do want you to go on. I do want you to live your life, but I'm still there in the background. And then you turn around sometimes and they do want you then. There's one day Lauren was going to a hockey match and she said, are you not going to come with me? And I said, no, it's okay. You can go on your own. You can do this one on your own. I see, as I was driving away, the tears were blinding me, because I thought, I have to let her do this, you know, on her own.
Yeah.
But it's really hard. That's a really hard line there, because I don't have it with my older daughter. I just, you know, she sails on, you know, away she goes. And I'm like, bye. And you never have to. It's all the thinking. You know, she says, I want to go and have a sleepover. You're like, right, okay. What parent, you know, and then you go to the parent's house and you're trying to explain to them a bit about it. And, you know, the first sleepover, I said to mom, and you do know she's got diabetes? And she was like, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
And she was almost angry with me. And I thought, oh my God, I'm leaving her with this woman. And, you know, and she begged me to go because it was a birthday party thing and it was all our friends and she'd be the only one left out. And she brings up to me a lot whenever I say, no, maybe not this time. She goes, is it because of my diabetes? You know, so you get that back in there. And then you're like, you're like, that's
yes, no,
yes, yeah. You're like, mm. that's the challenge. It's keeping them well and them understanding that you're not trying to, you know, cramp their space, and you're not, you know, you're trying to give them independence, but you're still trying to monitor them, because they just forget. They do. They forget. They don't bother.
Isn't it bothering the other parents too? Like, so that parent of the birthday party to so that they're invited in the first place.
And
the sleepovers, like, they'd never get asked unless you made sure that there was no responsibility on the other parent, because they don't want it.
No, because they're afraid as well. I've seen that. And then you've seen a parent who was fantastic, you know, that made like a party bag for Lauren. You know, a separate one that wasn't, that hadn't, that got other stuff, like girly stuff in it, which was fantastic. And I thought, oh my God, that is such a good parent there that didn't exclude her, gave her her own wee separate one that was all lovely. But even there at school today, she was in school today, and her food nutrition teacher said they were making like Swiss roll. And she says, well, you won't be having any of that. And then she says, next week we're going to make something else, but you can get your own sugar. You can bring in your own sugar.
What?
And you pulled her out separately and sort of made a show of her. And I was like, oh. You know, you've always got these things to deal with. You know, it's
why when I was in school at 17, there was only a couple of people that really knew about it. I didn't go around telling people because I was afraid of comments from from fellow peers, but to hear that from teachers, it's just outrageous. It's
been a big issue for loads of parents. Like, what that would have been more my response was the fact that we had to go on to school like at lunchtime and do injections because nobody would do it in the school, you know. And you had to be there if they were doing anything additional. You had to be there, like, and you know, and you were kind of, you were thinking, but I need to go back to work. I need to, you know, it wasn't like when Shane, there was a time where I was going on at lunch, I was going on break time and lunchtime, and you know, it's not sustainable. It's not, you know, and you're thinking, should my child have a classroom assistant? Should they not? You know, and a lot of parents, like in my view, at that age, you know, like 7 to 10, whatever, young people should have a classroom assistant to give them a hand. There should be somebody there to give them a hand with their type one. It shouldn't be that parents are going on, but there's a lot of times where you hear the parents are having to go on at lunchtime to do injections because there's no setup in the school.
Mm-hmm. And not many live. So long. Yeah, not many live that close to school.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is like lots of places in the UK and Ireland. We're rural, and you could be working the other direction from your like the school than your house is, and like your emergency contact on like in school as your kids grow. Get a bit bigger, becomes like your mummy or your partner's mummy or like somebody like that, like while you're in work.
Yeah.
Otherwise you have to change your job.
That's
true. Then things do come in. Mm-hmm. When they're first diagnosed, you think, am I going to work again? What am I going to do? Because your parents who were like, I live beside the school, but I worked in Derry. So it was like, well, how do I manage this? And my husband worked as well. He was out as well. He was in the ambulance service. So he was out and about the whole time. I thought, oh God. And then mum was like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, they used to go down to mum's quite a bit after school. And then she was freaked out by it all. You know, she was nervous about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do an injection. She was like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can learn this and stuff, you know. So, but it has got easier too, and it's got so much easier with the pump. I'm finding that Lauren is found a bit more independent with the pump. It's great. Yeah.
We've got a question. Mm-hmm. We've got a question from Diane who's listening tonight. She says, are you guys parents following your children on like things like debt share or extra? And is that reassuring for you when your child is say at school or out with your friend with their friends or whatever? And you can kind of see where their bloods are, but does it also worry you when you are seeing these notifications or alarms? What's your sort of thoughts on that, guys?
Well, I know Lauren had a sleepover on Saturday night. She was begging me for one on Friday, and then I said, right, okay, Saturday. And about 12:30, my alarm went off. I was sleeping, and then I text her. I said, are you taking something? And then she comes back, yip-de-doo. Because I said to her, you can have this sleepover, but if I contact you, you have to just acknowledge it, please, because I'll worry then. Yeah. So there's the two sides of it. There's the side of, yes, it's good to keep an eye, but then there's the side of, like, do you ever go get away from it?
Yeah, of course.
Because you're constantly watching it, and when the alarms go off, but you do get better with the alarms going off. I remember when her alarms went off at the very beginning, I was down at the school. I was in the car, down with my head through the railings, looking into the playground, but it was a false. She was actually higher than what was going off. That alarm, to me, sent me, like, in the car, going down, because you didn't get any answer from anybody at school, and it just kept going down and down, and the double arrows and all of there. It's a bit frightening.
Parkman,
but now, you know, she goes, it's okay, I'll sort it. You know, that way.
I'm in that weird position where, we started and it was finger pricks. And then we funded the Libre. That's, you know what I mean? Because it was so long ago, that's the way we did it. So all the technology has kind of evolved while we've been evolving. And there's sometimes that you just, you know, as technology, you know, making it harder, is it actually stressing us parents out more than, you know, it should be, you know, that kind of way? Is it, you know, but I suppose there's good and bad with it, doesn't there?
Yeah. And Adele, I think, I've noticed, you know, Lily's had it since she was 6. She's 14 now, and, you know, she's definitely getting diabetic burnout, where why do you need to know the blood sugars every 3 seconds?
You know, I can look at my own.
Whereas when I was 17 and newly diagnosed, like, I was living at home, and I was about to go to uni, but my mum said, why don't you just take a couple of years off? So I stayed at home. And, I guess in them early days, I was still finger pricking and stuff, and I could just basically, I'm this number or whatever.
I'm fine.
You know what I mean? And or I do the finger prick, and I'm not showing you. But now, obviously, the technology is there to maybe support if parents, and you know what I mean. But I totally get you. Yeah. I guess it's having them conversations with your children, isn't it? To say, look, I'm doing it completely to help you and support you, and hopefully one day, like Shane is now, Adele is, so that you can have the independence to manage it yourself. But then you do know I am here if you need me. You know what I mean? Like my mum now, like I'm 33. Like if I got on the phone to her, she'd do everything possible to help me. And like I'm so grateful for the help that she's given me over these years. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I ask a question about the technology? See, with like when the children were younger, when the children are younger, and you don't have shareable technology, because we don't have it here in Northern Ireland, and you have to DIY it or you have to pay for it. There's no Dexcom 6 or Guardian 4.
No.
So you pay for those, or you DIY without the support of your clinic. If parents didn't have that, what's different today, like Adele, like that wasn't there with Shane, like when he was smaller, like because targets were different and clinic was different too.
Yeah.
Now you have Libra and you do have numbers, but you can't actually help them with it.
No, I know it's completely changed. And I mean, like we've tried to go over to the Dexcom one, which wasn't very successful when we tried it. You know, like in a way, it was one of those. But I mean, now at least we went over to that. But at least many years ago, if you went on to something, you were sort of stuck there. That was, you know, there was you tried it, and that was that. You sort of had to do it. Where we tried the Dexcom one, it wasn't for us. We're back to Libre now. Do you know where there wasn't that choice? There wasn't like even Shane's not on pump, he's on pens. Now we're trying out smart pens. They're working great. Now, you know, when we're going into the world of pumps, there's more options for us, and that can only be a good thing. And like my thought is always that the more options there is, the more it's going to work for the person we type on, because, you know, things change, life evolves, life changes, and the one thing isn't going to work all the time. So the more choices out there, the more...
And if there's only one choice, then in X amount of years, you probably will have burnout, because you've just hit that point. You've hit that road. You know what I mean? And the choice
doesn't support you
exactly.
If you, there's some people who
there's some people who a pump isn't going to work for. A smart pen will work for them. Maybe pens will work for them. Maybe a Libre. So at least now there's a choice for people, and it'll work for them instead of them working for it, if that makes sense. Do you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. It does make me laugh, Adele, that you're your shade, like, and you're involved now with type 1 diabetes, like, professionally. And I can see you telling them all about this new technology. And I'd be like, I don't want that. And then somebody else comes and speaks to him. And he's like, that's a great idea, man. Why did you know
that? Yes. So he went talking to the reps at the Discovery Day, and he came back going, Mommy, I think I've found the pump. I've already talked to him about that pump about 3 times. I was like, what? I'm just like, that's great, Shane. That's brilliant.
I do the exact thing with my wife, to be fair. And yeah, I come back to her about a month later, and she's like, I told you that about 6 weeks ago. Like,
yeah.
Selective hearing.
Yeah.
Hi, Adele. Jensen's mummy was at the beach yesterday, and they're coming up to that. You know, it takes about 3 years for you to get the pump.
Yeah.
So she's coming up to that, and she says, I was looking at your Lauren, she says, and I could see it on her leg, and I was pointing, telling Jensen, look, that's the pump there. That's the one you're thinking about getting. And then Lauren's pump, of course, because she was in and out of the water, it had come off her leg because she was jumping about mad. And so Jensen's mummy came over and watched Lauren then, you know, putting it on. And that's just people in our group, our T1D group. That's the kind of thing we do. We say, oh, look, come on, sure, do you want to see how we do it? And we met when Lauren got her first pump. A few of us mommies then met one day at Carla's house. And because Lauren had it, because their girls were coming to that stage where they were nearly on the list, you know, they're getting closer up the list. And they seen it on her. And then when they see it, they go, you know, it's going to be okay. And even when we, Erin, before she even got her Libra on, I invited her mummy over to see Lauren. And you know, when she just seen it on her, she thought, yeah, that's okay. You know, if she sees someone else, if you see someone else with it.
It seems like it's okay.
There was a friend of mine whose wee girl, she was really afraid of putting the Libra on totally. It was the noise.
Yeah.
So Shane came over to her house and he put his Libre on in front of the weekend, and then she put it on. Do you know, it's those simple things that we can help each other.
Because
we have a network, and because, you know, and it should be that we go to, you know, it should be like, I don't know, they should bring us all in and, like, you know, do things like out in clinic, but they don't, unfortunately.
Yeah. But this is where peer support is. It has its place. Like, there's no good care that doesn't include peer support.
Yeah.
But even just for Jensen's mom to see that, and she's like, wow, so Lauren, what do you do here? And, you know, she says, all right, well, I just do this and I do that, and then that's it on, you know, and hopefully it'll stay on now. I'm out of the water now. Yeah. But you know,
Kelly,
that
was the clinic. When you get told you're at the top of the list to get a pump, you're told to say which pump you want, and you're sitting there, I don't know.
I don't know. That's it. And that's what I said to her. I said, you'll just be asked to go and research it yourself. And she goes, no, that's really good to see it on her. And then Lauren goes, well, this is what I do here. And she goes, you know, when you type this in, and this is how it works. And she was just like, oh, this is that looks really good. I'm excited now about it, you know, getting closer to it. And her wee son looked at it and stuff like that. So it was good. It was that's the kind of things in the group. Yeah, we're very open in the group about showing things.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it. That's, you know, it opens that space up for us all, and opens that space up for young people to make their choices, because, you know, if they can see it and they're talking to other people, then of course it makes it real, and it takes the fear out of it. It can only be a good thing for them.
Yeah, just before I went on the pump, they asked Lily one day in clinic, did she really want the pump, and that she was just at that age, and she shrugged her shoulders. And they said from that she didn't want it, and I was sitting furious about that. But you know, that they were asking, like, Lily would have been about 10 years old at that time, to ask a 10-year-old to make that decision. I don't think it was really fair. You know, when I was the parent, I'd done my research. If I said she wanted a pump, I thought they should have. But they wanted to ask her. But yeah, I know they were doing that.
But it's great for the kids to see it on. Like Lauren obviously went for the Omnipod because it was tubeless, right? And there is Sharon's daughter, Eve. She has got the Medtronic on the wee belt and stuff. And that suited her. So Lauren had seen the both from other people and then made the choice herself. Was like, right, okay, that one's for me. And, you know, and that was three ones at our group, you know, at our ET1D group. And, you know, you just discuss it with other parents and say the pros and cons. And like, Sharon was great about what the reason she went for her one. And then other parents were like, well, we went with this because of the tubeless and da-da-da. So, and then, so Lauren had all these, she knew about it then. And then even went off and looked it up on YouTube and all herself. Then after that as well, when she knew the two choices and yeah. she'd seen them on people, and then she knew what she wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like we will reach a time where the choice will be to use smart pens and that to like a pump, all the different types of pumps are mm-hmm. all explained and why they're of benefit, not just that they're plugged onto your body and they're this negative thing, whereas you, that makes type 1 really visible, but that they really improve your quality of life, and you have a choice to choose not to pump rather than having to fight for a pump that suits you.
They actually given day instead of like over here we have to fight, we have to just keep on and keep on
work at what you want and then fight for it, because you you're not coming from a place of confidence when you're trying to work out what you want. And then the group is so good for that, like, because at least helps parents work out what's there and why it's helpful to each individual person, because it's not like it has different benefits to different people.
Yeah. Mary, can I just say I wish I had known about smart pens, because I don't know if we'd have made the choice to go on the pump. But I don't think smart pens would have been available then. But now and seeing the smart pens, you know, I would have liked to have tried those before maybe a pump. But until Adele's very vocal about her smart pens, I'd never even heard of smart pens until Adele kind of brought it to the group and started telling us all about it. So it's knowing those and giving you that choice, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the choice. Like, and then, but you can still go, like, Lily can still go on smart pens.
We like the pump, but you know what I mean? It is a big transition to move from the multi-daily injections over onto the pump. And that was a challenge. I'm not going to lie to anybody. Going onto the pump isn't easy. And, you know, and it takes you a while to get. It's nearly like getting diagnosed again, Mary. I compared it to.
It's so different, but it's knowing that, like, you have to just. It's not understanding diabetes in a different way. It's just understanding, getting confident with it, and seeing all how you, what you do in certain situations, and then you're learning how to cope with them in different ways too, because you can. You've got much more freedom with it when you do get to that point, don't you, Kelly? Like Lauren
Lauren finds more freedom even to go out with like her friends and stuff like that. And she would be quite, you know, she likes it actually on her leg more. So she has it on her leg with three tiny shorts on. And recently someone stopped her and says, "What's that in your leg?" And she says, what do you mean? And they said, this wee boy was like, "Well, what's that in your leg?" And she goes, "What?" And he goes, "That thing in your leg." And she goes, "I don't know what you're talking about." He just be like, "Whatever." And she goes, "No, do you know what it was, Mommy?" She says, "I didn't want to have to explain the whole thing to him. I just thought, no, I don't want to explain there's insulin in there and it goes into my body." And, and she said, because I said, "Gosh, that was really good of you. You just sort of, as if he was seeing things, kind of."
It's just having the answer, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, it's the answer.
Yeah,
she's very good now. She's perfect. She doesn't hide it now. It's great.
Kelly, do you find waiting list is so long for a pump with us over here that if from the very beginning you don't say we want a pump, don't get on that list. And even I know it's probably wrong, but I would always say to people, even if you're not thinking about a pump now, get put on the list, because our kids change, you know. When they're younger, they might want it. You know, when they become teenagers, you know, But at that time, then when your child expresses to you, I want to go on a pump, you're too late. It's not good to do that either, but you kind of have to.
You get that decision out and on paper or on a list somewhere, so that it's not the child choosing. It's already been decided. It's all just happening then, rather than, do you want to have this? No, I don't want to wear that at all. Why would I want to wear that yoke stuck on my body?
Yeah. I think even we got the wee sample one, which was really handy, and she stuck it on and sort of seen what it was like. But I don't know, Lauren totally, she was kind of really excited to get the pump. And then whenever we were first, you know, it's kind of like, oh, right, okay, you're going to have to take 2 weeks off work. And I had 2 weeks booked off, and you're going to be checking every couple of hours. And, you know, it was really, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be really intense or whatever. And then I remember with Joe, the diabetic nurse, ringing, was it the first day? And I was like, she was in the swimming pool, right? She wanted to go to the pool. And I thought, right, okay. Phoned her back. I said, we're in the pool today. Then she phoned the next day, how's it all going? And I said, oh God, we're in the lake in Kilray, you know, when I am water sport thing. And she goes, you're in the lake? And I said, yeah, we're in the lake in Kilray. It was such good weather and stuff. And I was off on holidays then. I thought, well, I've taken the time off. And she says to me, you know, that's right. Just do that. She says, because she is going to have this for life. She says, so you might as well just start as you mean to go on. And we just did that. We just went on with, you know, and it was all new to us. But she was like, I want to go to the lake. It's a lovely day. I want to go to the, you know, and that was them big, you know, them big inflatables.
Yeah.
And off she went. Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's the way it's been ever since. It's like, but it's good.
It's perfect. It is.
Yeah.
You have to have that attitude for loads of it, and then have the freedom to be annoyed with it then for those annoying times.
She does have her moments. Yeah, she's her moments, like when she'll say, you'll never understand. And I say, I know I'll never understand, you know, but I'm here to help you and support you, and whatever you need me, I'm here. You know, because it is, it's the emotional side of too with the diabetes. It's that emotions where they can't understand why they're feeling the way they are, if they're, say, running so high. And, well, you know, Mary, it's really hard. And when they're that age at 12 and they don't know how to explain it. And you just know, I just know at times I'm like, and I don't want to say the first thing, like, are you high? Are you, you know, you're like, are you okay? And then I'll be like, get round to it. Oh, let me check and see what you are, you know. Oh, and that's what they're saying. Oh, we'll do something. We'll go out for a walk, or we'll do, you know, to try and bring it down, and we'll do something to try
and that age.
Give her a background. And
like Lily is a young girl as well. And it's like, are you high? Are you on your period? You're like, is there period too? It's like, oh my gosh, like all these things. And then it's just being a teenager as well. But like, hormones are horrible, aren't they too? But they're at that age, they just don't, you can see they are confused. But as an adult, like, you're confused yourself too. Like with hormones as women, like outside of having type 1, I think as well. Like,
oh, Mary, I was a perfect teenager.
Were you? You're such a lucky duck.
I can't enter into this part of the conversation. I have to stay quiet.
But there was a group that you had a talk once in just before lockdown, and Dr. Black and everything spoke at it, and he spoke really well, and he talked just about things like, even just whenever they come in the door, don't go, watch your blood. Don't ask all the time, like, what's your blood? You know, ask, what kind of day did you have? Something you would say to another child. Don't always be everything focusing around, you know, the numbers and the, and, you know, I've sort of taken that on, you know, and said, I make it purposely now, just don't say straight away, you know. When they get in the car, and they might, you can sense off and they haven't had a good day. You don't be like, what's your blood? You know, what's your blood?
Or else you go watch your happening at school, and you're like, oh my God, it nearly came out, but I have to make it.
I know, it's like, please help me.
Something.
But there's where the tech would come into, like, where, like, it's not if you could actually see their blood sugars, you'd have seen what they are like at half past three, quarter to four. You don't have to ask them that question. It's not like you're looking at it and making decisions for them. You're
unless
just...
they go into the tech, because they're more tech savvy than us, Mary, and they turn off the sharing function. Because they don't want you to see it at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's like there are ways like where you have agreements with things like that's a given as well. Like you do need your guide.
That's hard. That is a challenge. Yeah. You know, and I can understand. And building that trust up and passing that control over when you've had that control for years.
Yeah.
You know, it's just ingrained in you can't
there's
help
ways you can organize to help like that you can see during the day while they're in school, and you can see every so often at night time when they want to like have a break from the responsibility themselves, like because it's such a burden to go to sleep with your like looking after your own type one.
Well, I check Shane's overnight, like that's what I do. So he manages himself the rest of the time, and I take that burden off him at night time. And
that'd be so much easier for you, Adele, if you had a G6 or something like that, where you don't have to get up out of bed and scan him.
Yeah, I just it would be far handier. But at least he's let me. You know what I mean? At least at least he's allowing me to do that, and that's, you know, that's a good arrangement. It's working for us now. So it's meeting them where they are. It's another, you know, and trying to work together on it, especially 9 years down the line, you know.
Yeah, and these aren't the insulin to carb bits, these are the big bulky invisible bits that just would make life easier if it was suited around how you live your lives and respecting each one's individuality as well.
Yeah,
it's interesting. This sort of conversation we're having, really. And I did put that tweet out that Diane asked about following the share, and Stacey Sims has commented, and she says that in her book she wrote a chapter about this, and for her she basically says it's before you do follow, and this isn't giving tips to you guys; it's just talking broadly, I guess. Is having that plan, isn't it, of how you, as the person who's supporting that person with diabetes, is how you can help them, how you can respond to help with their diabetes, and just having that conversation, isn't it? If they are at that age where they can have that conversation, is have that conversation with them and get on that same page, isn't it? And
how it helps, like it's on, like if somebody else understands that you're there to help, but help in the way that they want to be helped and want to be relieved. Like we all talk about wanting a holiday. Like we don't get a holiday. But I know with Johnny, when he walks in from school, it's like until 6 o'clock, I don't know, type one disappears.
Yeah.
Now I don't necessarily pick it all up like either. Like I could do so much better with it, but like if he is going to eat something or he is going to do something, it's my job to think about it. It's his job to think about it in school.
And that's
how you.
It is taking that burden. It is taking a bit of that burden. I always said that early on. I said if I can take it away from her for this period of time, I will, because she has a lifetime of it.
Remembering when to change things, having the insulin in. Gosh, like it's hard to remember all those little things.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Shane had a massive, he had a really bad hypo, and that's why we've met. The place that we've met is I'm taking it because he had an overnight hypo. It was a bad hypo, and I take that pressure off. So I do the nighttime ones, just, you know, because that's where I meet him with us. That's, you know, that's our agreement. Worry about the highs. I don't, because that's not my place. It's not, you know what I mean? He can do that. I meet him for the lows because that's the bit that worries him. So I take that away.
Tempe's message says, "You guys, your parents are real heroes here. Like you honestly are. Like honestly, you won't. I don't know if you do realize, but your sons and daughters will be so appreciative, so thankful for everything that you do to support them. every day. And I look back now and just like, I'm so forever grateful for what my mum did. I think they're very lucky to have you guys. But what I love about it is that you've got this, bringing it all back around, is that you've got this community that allows the children to connect with their peers, to normalize things, to have opportunities should they wish to ask questions or see someone doing a finger prick or scanning or whatever, or injecting. And then for you guys to have the opportunity to talk and ask parents questions throughout the night, yep, or whatever. So I just wanted to maybe finish with one final question from me, really, and then anything else, really, is with everything, with all the experiences you've gained and all the years supporting your loved ones with diabetes, is what advice would you give to someone who is a new parent or a new carer with a young person who's got diabetes?
Oh, it's thanks straight away. The first thing comes to my head is, look, it's going to be okay. Reach out to people. Ask as many questions as you feel like you need to ask your healthcare team. There is no
silly questions. No.
There is no torturing your nurses and doctors by asking. The more you ask, the more you know, and the more you can help to support, and the more supported you feel. And as long, you know, it's all about how you feel about it and how you can support the person, and just knowing that there are other people. Find your tribe, find your T1 club, find your people around you, and you know, make sure that you have a support to lean on, because you know it's hard. Like, nobody's going to say it's not hard. It's not hard at times. It is, but if you have people that understand around you, that's half the battle. That's what you need, you know. So reach out and create your T1 club. Doesn't that sound really good? Reach out and create your T1 club. Create your own network.
You had that written down, people. Didn't you?
No, I didn't.
I like that. I like that. Your tribe is really good.
You can put that snippet on your new website. There you go. You can have one. That one for free.
Find your tribe. No, it is. I think it's so, so important to meet up with people who are going through the exact same thing as you. They might be at different stages. They might be newly diagnosed, they might be 5-6 years in, 2 years in, but we're all these shared experiences, and it's fantastic. Even when someone joins the WhatsApp group, the parents all come in and go, hi, this is a group you didn't want to join, but you're in it now, and we're here to support you. There's no question that's stupid or it's too big or too small. Just ask it whenever, you know, and it's really, really good, because you think sometimes, oh, I'll just put it on the group here and see. And people, somebody will come back to you and answer you. It'll be like, right, okay.
And you know what? I love about
peer support. Yeah.
And what I love as well about peer support and stuff is all these amazing lived experiences that you can learn from people. But if you ask a question, like you said, there's no silly question. If you ask a question or ask for help, and what I've learned in this past sort of 18 months is, even if someone doesn't know, which I don't think in this world I've been in, like, there's always someone that knows these things, is there's always people who are willing to do their utmost to help and find them answers for you, and find the people like Mary, the tech people, or like Norman, he's great with tech, you know what I mean? There are people who are really supportive to go, I don't know that, but I know this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it just shows you how important the group is to everybody, that how much their family and friends sponsored, you know, even that dip there yesterday. You know how important it is to us. So when we go and say we're doing this for the group, this is for my son or daughter's T1D group, they know how vital it is. And they're like, right, here, I'll sponsor you, you know, and they did that. That's friends and family all coming in and sponsoring. And no matter how too many times you ask them, you know, you say, oh, we're looking for a bit of money or whatever, they're like, right, okay, because they do realize how important it is, because when you talk about it so positively, they're like, well, it means so much to you. Mm-hmm. So it is, that's a true reflection on the group. Girls, set up.
I just want to echo what Adele says. I think I would love when Lily was diagnosed for somebody just to say, you're going to be okay. You're going to be fine. Your child hasn't changed at all. She's still a good child. It's all going to be fine. You know, just that reassurance and that that's what you need in that instance, and because it is so overwhelming. I would also say never buy a type 1 diabetic sugar-free chocolate.
No.
Yes.
We've all been there.
We've all been there, indeed.
Gosh. Sorry, as a bugbear.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Can I just say one more thing? Can you hear me? The Just Giving page, while I've been on this, people keep donating money. It's like more money while we've been on here, which is mad. So we've just raised like another additional like over £100 while we've been talking. So
amazing.
I know. So it really is brilliant. There you go. I just wanted to share that because it's like I'm sitting here buzzing. I'm like, oh my god, look at this. Stop.
Fantastic.
And I hope, Mary, we haven't talked too fast, because in this part of the country, when we get together, we talk really, really fast. So I hope everybody's been able to keep up. Isn't that right, Adele?
Yeah, totally.
I think I understand you.
I think I've slowed down slightly since, not that much.
Well, no,
I think you did great.
You've done amazing, and I've really enjoyed tonight, and thank you for everything that you're doing for the T1 club community. Keep it up, guys, and like Adele says, check out the Twitter page and the new website that's coming soon, and go support where you can, or even if it's just like and share and it getting out there, it helps, isn't it? And it's great.
And thank you for being such a big supporter as well, Tom, because It's great. You love the group, and we all think it's your class too. So there you go. So
I honestly cannot wait till I can come over and like hang out. It's going to just be so cool.
I'll get something organized. Don't worry.
We will. But honestly, it's been tremendous. Adele, Gail, and Kelly, thank you so much for coming on. Was there any sort of closing remarks you wanted to conclude in this podcast episode to finish?
Can I say I'm sorry that Nolene couldn't come on? Like the link didn't work for her.
I know she's
very good.
She's there too. She's brilliant.
And like
she
would
have had. It's been, as I say, there was a lifeline for me and my family. You know, it's been great. And as I say, you bring the other siblings as well, and then they can sort of understand how important it is too. Like Sarah's older sister has come to event. She was down at the beach yesterday, and my parents were there, and it was just it was lovely. There was grandparents. It was like very much like a family group, and we're all very supportive of one another. So I'd be lost without it. As a mammy of a T1D, I would be lost without the group. I think it's fantastic. And I couldn't thank you enough.
Can I just add as well, we do talk, like, and the group was set up for children. But Adele, I know maybe you'll echo this as well. You know, we're here to support families. Mm-hmm. So if it's the adult who has type 1, you know, we would encourage them to come along as well with their family to the group. You know, it's not just, you know, when you learn so much. And we were speaking to an adult yesterday at the other one way, and it was great just to, they just the things we knew that they don't know. And so get the message out there, T1 clubs for everybody. It's not just for children.
And we have a big event on the 25th of June. We're having a diabetes walk and a big party in St. Collins Park. So if you know anybody in the area that wants to come along, tell them to come along, and we can guarantee a good day out, because that's what we do.
Yeah, me and Gail don't turn anybody away. Come and have a party.
Everybody's
always
welcome.
It's always a good day out with the T1 club, right?
Yeah.
Always.
Thank you. There we go, guys. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's just been tremendous, hasn't it, Mary? I honestly love hearing parents' stories and perspectives, and I just think you guys are just ace. But I had to finish the podcast there because otherwise it'd be like a 10-hour podcast, and I'm sure that you guys do need some sleep tonight, as much as you'd love to be talking all night long.
I know.
But honestly,
some really good points, some really good interesting points too.
Absolutely. But yeah, we'll definitely stay in touch, and we'll have to do more parent nights, and talk more. Talking is important, right?
Absolutely. We don't like see it's different. I think that the last night was it before Christmas we did it was in November.
Yeah,
and it was like individual parents chatting.
Yeah,
but it's very different talking about a collective,
a community that has grown. Mm-hmm. And it's inclusive to everyone, isn't it? From all ages, all parts of the family, from siblings to grandparents, it's very inclusive, and
it picks up on the things about peer support, because when one person learns something, they go and teach other people those little tiny tips and tricks, and there's no responsibility on what one person to be that one source of information. It's like everybody becomes a little mini expert in the things that they know about their type one, and they go, oh, well, we do this and this is how we do it. And another one would jump in and we could do this. You can do this with this after. And that's what happens within a little tight little WhatsApp group. It's amazing. It's an amazing group.